So, yes, then. Okay, then the Meleches. So we mentioned Meleches means the meat eaters, but as will be, probably give some definition later. So the Yavanas, then that means they're against the Vedic version. That's what makes them different. That's why we say Meleches and Yavanas, right? Because they're two different groups. The Yavanas are opposed, so you could have a vegetarian Yavana. Right? So someone's opposed to the Vedic version, they're a Yavana. Generally, being opposed to the Vedic version, they're also meat eaters. It's just, you know, they generally go together, yes.
Is the Vedic version and the Vedic principles the same?
It just depends on how far you're taking it, but yes. It just means the Vedic lifestyle, the recommended and all that. So they don't appreciate the Vedas. You know, they're opposed to those who follow the Vedas. Like that. And at last, the Chandala. So the Chandala then will have the most distorted mentality. Like that. Because the Chandala will be a combination of, let's say, a Shudra father, Brahmin mother. So then they'll have a Shudra mentality in trying to deal with Brahminical things. Does that make sense? So that will really be degraded. While the other will be a Brahminical mentality, but you work in the area of Shudra things. That's a Nishada. You understand? It's also a problem, but it's not as much a problem as the Chandala. So the Chandala just means that the mentality is completely opposite of what it should be. The degradation of the human instinct begins from the Meleches and the Chandala state of life. From the Meleches, right? So in other words, up to the Shudras, that's considered human life because everybody's engaged. Like that. Then after that, then when you start with the Meleches, then it goes down from there. And there's so many categories. Like in another place in the Bhagavatam, it talks about the, you know, 12 different tribes. Like that. And after mentioning the 12 tribes, it also says, or lower, you know, so everybody gets a mention, right? You know, so nobody can feel that they're left out. That. Okay, it begins from the Meleches, and the Chandala state of life is the last word in human degradation, right? Because the mentality is wrong. In other words, what should be done in one way are using in another. You're taking Shudra things and presenting it as Brahminical. You're taking Brahminical things, dealing with them like you would a Shudra. Everything like that is completely, everything's backwards. That's what makes the Chandala mentality. Right? So that's then what we're seeing here is the matter of how they're dealing with Krishna consciousness, how they're dealing with the Vedas, how they're seeing things according to the mode of goodness. Because you see, you're dealing in goodness and goodness passion and passion ignorance, and then, you know, basically just more ignorance, you know, real ignorance. You know, so there's recommended following the scriptures ignorance, and then there's ignorance where you're not like that. All the above terms mentioned in the Vedic literatures are never meant for any particular community or birth, right? So it's a mentality. So it's not that you're born in this, it means that. It's a matter of how you behave. There are different qualifications of human beings in general. Right? There's no question of birthright or community. So that's the important thing, because if we're worried, oh, there's discrimination. No, it's not. Anybody could be anything. You know, we're not discriminating. Anybody could be a Chandala. You know, we're not saying that it's only this community. You know, it's like, yeah. Yeah, we're quite liberal in our faith. There are different qualifications for human beings in general. There is no question of birthright or community. One can acquire the respective qualifications by one's own efforts. Right, you know, so by your own efforts you can become a Chandala. You know. It's like that. You know, so if you're not, you don't worry, you can become if you want. Right? And thus the son of a Vaishnav can become a Meleche, or the son of a Chandala can become more than a Brahmin, right? It means become Vaishnav. All in terms of their association and intimate relation with the Supreme Lord. So that's the whole point, is it's all judged off the Supreme Lord. So when we leave Krishna out of it, then we try to judge or measure things by the material standard. That's when we run into all these different, you know, social difficulties that come up. You know, oh, but this is discrimination, this is that. Because we're not including Krishna in it. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, as you deal, let's say, before it would, okay, you don't discriminate, let's say, in your own community, be someone who's rich or poor or something like that. And so you try to deal nicely with everybody, okay? Or you don't discriminate from one country to the next, you know, or from one race to the next. right? But everybody would still be, at least within the Western context, still following their religious tradition, right? You know, they were, you know, Christians, they'd be good Christians, and but they wouldn't be discriminating, right? But the problem is as you go in these, and these go down, that as you then when you leave religion out of it, now how do you judge what is standard? Does that make sense? So the degradation just keeps going down. Because the degradation keeps going down, then how do you define what's proper devotional standard if we're using the modern context? Because it's not God conscious. I mean, one, it's not devotional. Then it's not God conscious. Then it's said to be moral, but they set the standards of morality. Right? Does that make sense? So they make these things themselves, like, you know, whatever it is. Some will say, okay, the baby is, you know, born, then they're, you know, alive. They get human rights. But if they're not born, they have no rights. Some will say, when they come to the point where they could function without the mother. So in other words, if they were born prematurely, there's a certain amount of weeks that they could still function without the mother. Then some will consider you can't have an abortion after this because now they're viable. Does that make sense? You know, and so like this, they just have their different ranges, but they make these up. Where does God come into this? That there's a soul there and, you know, and this is how the body develops. You know, there's different ways the bodies develop. Four different kinds. So then from the womb, from the egg, from sweat, or from, you know, seeds or slips. You know, it's like that. So that's how God's made it. So as soon as you leave these aspects out, then now you mentally speculate on what you consider appropriate. Does that make sense? And, you know, in the modern context, everyone going with it, they agree with it, because they have no idea what the soul is, what life is. They don't have no idea. They couldn't define it. So because of that, they make up their own. So that's what I'm meaning, is that as you move farther away from the God consciousness, then that sense of morality, it's their sense of morality. Does that make sense? So you have those in the hospital, we will not abort, you know, a baby who's, you know, viable. And they think they're very moral. But for those who are religiously moral, these people are still immoral. Does that make sense? So it, you just have your different levels of that. So is it connected? So that's what it is. All in terms of their association, intimate relation with the Supreme Lord. That's the measurement. As soon as we use another measurement, we'll always be off. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you want to, you know, do some work with this door here. Now, if you get out a thermometer, will you get very far? No. So that's the whole. It means if you hold it to this side of the door, it'll be a little warmer than the other side of the door. Does that make sense? So that's the things you have to use. The measurement is the relationship, intimate relation with the Supreme Lord. That's the actual position. The meat eaters are generally called malechas, right? That's the general category. But all meat eaters are not malechas. Those who accept meat in terms of scriptural injunctions are not malechas. Right? So those, let's say they do the animal sacrifice and according to the rules of that, then they're accepting the meat eating from that. They're not considered malechas. Right? Malechas means unregulated, uncontrolled meat eaters. But those who accept meat without restriction are called malechas. Does that make sense? So you have to distinguish there. Because they're still accepting the Vedic version. Beef is forbidden in the scriptures, so there'll never be a point that where that will be part of it. And the bulls and cows are offered special protection by followers of the Vedas. But in this age of Kali, people exploit the body of the bull and cow as they like, unless they will invite sufferings of various types. Right? So it's because they're not following the Vedas, and the Vedas are given by Krishna, so ultimately it's not the association and intimate relation with the Lord. So they're not following on the devotional, they're not following on the point of rules and regulations, they're not following it as just the Vedic sciences, the metaphysical aspects. So because of that, then they're suffering. So as it goes down, there will be suffering. So if you expect to accept the Vedas, but not in relation to Krishna, it will still give you trouble. Does that make sense? Like that. Means it'll be less because you're in the mode of goodness, but since your context is goodness, then it'll bother you. You know, it's like you know how you say the example of the story of the princess and the pea? You know this story? Right, for her, 15 mattresses that there, you know, and these are not our mattresses, these are mattresses at the palace. And they put one pea underneath there, and then for her, it's uncomfortable, she can't sleep. Right? So for her, that's a big deal. But we notice that all the other girls, they slept, you know, very well, because they had a different kind of standard. Does that make sense? So, because they're in the mode of goodness, even though they're accepting Shastra, they still will suffer, because they're still having a material measurement. Okay. People of this age will not perform any sacrifice. Right? You know, devotees don't even like to do samskars, right? You know, it's just not practical. You know, Treta Yuga stuff, right? You know. Yes?
And does it mean that the Jews eating kosher wouldn't be considered blessings?
But
our scriptural exemption means only Vedas.
It means you can say, means specifically it means Vedas, but if they are going to be following something, let's say if someone is Jewish, then if they follow, and they're meat eaters, therefore if they follow their law, it will be less sinful than if they don't, than if they're Jewish and they don't follow their law. Does that make sense? But it doesn't mean that their position is actually very good. Because if you look in the, how you say, you don't find it in the New Testament. This verse is removed, but in the Old Testament,
Old one.
Yeah, then means the Old Testament. It's not in the New Testament. It's not in the Old Testament of the Christians. It's only in the Torah of the Jews, because some of the verses have been removed. Right. Does that make sense? You know, because you want to make it popular, so you have to remove those things that aren't popular. So, in there, and when you're talking about creation, it mentions that Adam and Eve removing in the garden, and so then they have the, you know, grains of the fields and fruits and the, like all that. In other words, it's all vegetarian. That's what they have for food, right? The term used is meat. Meat means substance, but it doesn't mean flesh. Flesh is, when the Old Testament it means meat, what we call meat now, it says flesh. So if it uses meat, it just means it's solid. It's you know, like grains, that's meat, it's something. You know, if they just give you fruit for lunch, that's not meat, but I would give you grains, then you say, that's okay, that's solid. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then, in there, then that's when they're in the garden, but then when things go a little haywire and they get kicked out of the garden, then God says, now I give you, he gives all those and flesh. Right? In other words, they're cursed. It says in there, he curses them and then he gives them flesh. So it's a curse. So if you're looking at it from the proper point of view, why would you use it? And then when they ask the Lord, you know, when they sacrifice the animal, what does he want? Does he want the blood or does he want the flesh? And he says, I'll take the blood. He says, but you can't have one drop of blood. So now, even if you kill the animals according to their system, in that whole body, there won't be one drop left spread through that body. So that means, technically, you can't eat meat. But they interpret it just means they take out as much blood as they can. They find the most efficient way to take out the blood. Right? And then another example, when they were at the Sinai, and they were, you know, there for 40 years, so they didn't have to be there for 40 years. They first went out there, and God gave them this stuff called manna. It would just be there on the ground in the morning, you know, in the morning dew, and you pick it up. And if you picked more than what you needed, it would reduce down to what you needed. If you picked up less than what you needed, it would grow to how much you needed. So everybody was fed nicely. But after eating this for some time, then they all said, we want flesh. They prayed to God. And so then suddenly out of the sky comes raining these like dead birds. That should have been the first sign that there's some problem here. Why do dead birds just fall out of the sky? So then they pick them up, they start cooking, they start eating. As they're eating them, just chewing on them, they're dying. So naturally, as you know, when you know a few people die, then you start to think, well, wait a minute. So, you know, most people didn't die. But the interesting thing is one of the aspects is that they were in the forest, I mean the desert for 40 years. That was the rule was is anybody, that generation who prayed for that flesh, until every last one of them had died, they couldn't go into Israel. So it was based on, you know, God was providing and they're not satisfied. Does that make sense? So you have to take that seriously. Or Moses, then they need water. They're out in the desert. There's no water. They can't find water. And God says, strike the stone with your staff. So he hits it with the staff and water comes. Then sometime later, then the same situation came up. They prayed to God and God says, you know, then chant my name. The water will come. So then Moses took the staff, hit the rock. You know, because it's more of an obvious, practical thing to do. And so because of that, didn't get water until he would chant the name. When he chanted, then the water came. But then the problem comes is because he lacked faith, that's why he didn't go into Canaan. So he came to the point where they all went in. And he sat up in the mountain and watched, and they all went in, and he stayed outside. So you start to see there's a pattern here. Pleasing God, you know, is a good thing, but not pleasing God doesn't work out so well. You know, so it's the same thing we're saying here. And all in terms of their association, intimate relation with the Supreme Lord. So therefore, decisions have to be made on how it pleases the Lord, how it pleases the Acharyas. That's how it is. Not just an interpretation of the scripture in our own way. Does that make sense? That always has to be kept. Because the point is if you're managing, you always have to make decisions. So you always have to see those decisions are in line with that this is pleasing to Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, therefore, anybody who follows their own rule, even they've made it up, it'll be better if they don't follow it, because they're regulating their life. So if they don't follow it, they'll get a reaction for that. Does that make sense? You know, like let's say a group of friends say, okay, every New Year's Eve, you know, the four friends, they will always go to the sauna together, no matter what, you know, wherever part of the world we're in, or married, not married, like we'll all get together on that evening. Right? So if they do that, they've taken a vow of that, then things will work okay for them. So, you know, whether taking a sauna is good or not, or whatever. But if they don't, then there'll be a reaction for that. Because Krishna will also consider, you've made the rule, you have to follow it. Otherwise, why make the rule? Right? God's made his rule, it's better to follow that. But if you're going to make up your own rule, the point is you have to be regulated. So you have to follow your rule. That's why you see is even you have, let's say, you know, one of these tropical areas, and, you know, the humans there are all, you know, tribals. And they eat whatever they can catch, but they follow their rules. They follow their tradition. They've been doing it for thousands of years.